NBA Finals begin tomorrow night in Denver. Nuggets and Heat. Suns still looking for a head coach. Here to talk about all of it with us from ESPN NBA Insider, Tim McMahon joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Tim, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
No problem.
With the Milwaukee job filled and the Philadelphia job going to Nick Nurse, the Suns seem to be next up on this hiring calendar, if you will. And I mean, from our perspective, Tim, it looks like all signs are pointing to Kevin Young, the associate head coach, to step into Monty Williams' spot. Are you hearing similar? And if so, why is it taking so long to finalize this thing?
Yeah, I can't give you a good answer on why exactly it's taking so long to finalize. Certainly there was a lot of talk around the league about Nick Nurse being a serious candidate for the Suns. He decided to take the offer from Philadelphia instead of perhaps waiting for one to materialize in Phoenix, but there has been a lot of momentum building for Kevin Young the whole time. And early on, I think there was an anticipation that Matt Ishbia would want to make a quote unquote big name hire. And, obviously there were a lot of coaches out there, not just with names, but with championship rings. But I was told, in the days after Monty Williams was fired, hey, take Kevin Young seriously as a candidate, because the Suns are, and Devin Booker in particular absolutely is. And this is a guy who obviously Booker has been with for a few years. It's not just, hey, Booker likes him. He respects him. He thinks that this guy's got big-time head coach and potential. And as somebody who is in the loop told me, the big name would be nice, but the quote was, you never know when you can hire another Spoelstra. Hmm. Eric Spoelstra wasn't a big name when the Heat made him a head coach. Now, 15 years later, the guy's headed to the Hall of Fame.
What's interesting to me is if James Jones survives as GM, and it appears that he is, and if Monty Williams gets fired and his top associate gets promoted to Monty Williams' job, that's a pretty firm finger pointing at Monty Williams as maybe the root cause or a big cause of what's happened here the last couple of years. Should we be comfortable with that as Suns fans? What does that say to you?
I don't think I understand what you're saying, and certainly I think that's a reasonable connecting of the dots. I don't think it's fair. And anybody who looks at Monty Williams' tenure in Phoenix and doesn't consider it a success is just not being reasonable. I mean, you were there. You know what he took over.
Oh, yeah.
You know what they were able to accomplish during his tenure there. I will say if Monty Williams wanted to coach next year, he absolutely would. I think it's more likely he's going to take a season off. But again, I understand what you're saying, and I think that is completely unfair to Monty Williams. And look, I also think it's reasonable to say, hey, why did you fire Monty Williams when you didn't know who your next head coach was going to be? But listen, when you pay billions of dollars to buy an NBA franchise, you're allowed to make the decisions that you want to make. And look, there was a lot of talk about, hey, is James Jones going to survive? Like you said, it does appear that he is. But I think we all understand that his decision-making power has been certainly diminished with Ishbia taking over.
Tim McMahon from ESPN, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. This coaching cycle has been crazy. Just for the simple fact, Tim, as you know, three championship coaches were let go by teams. Monty Williams, a coach that recently got his team to the finals, was let go. And we were talking about it on the show earlier in the week that it seems like unless you win multiple championships, you got a 4 or 5 year window regardless of what happens. Do you think this is going to be the norm moving forward with this many quality coaches available for coaching hires?
It's certainly the trend, and I think there's also going to be some people around the league who point to the two teams in the finals and say, hey, the Nuggets stuck with Michael Malone despite it not just being boom, instant microwave success, and look at them. They built something. There's continuity. They're going to the finals now. They've got a chance to, certainly be a contender, if not the big dogs in the Western Conference for the next several years. Obviously, Spoelstra, aside from Pop in San Antonio, is the longest tenured head coach in the league. So, you laid the trend out, and that's definitely the way that the league is going. But again, I'm going to point to the last two teams standing and say, maybe there is something to be said for sticking with a good head coach.
Yeah, and that's, yes, I agree. That's a good strategy if you know you've got the right guy and you kind of ride through the vagaries of competition with them. I'm curious what you think about this. As somebody who was tagging along and covering the Suns throughout all this, you know how unusual it was for Devin Booker to blow off the media after Game 6, and then he did the same thing after exit interviews, and that's something he just doesn't do.
Yeah.
Given that, given the state and the age of Kevin Durant, how do you feel about the Suns at this point going forward, getting that championship in the next couple of years?
Yeah, and I really was surprised that Booker didn't do media. You know, it's one thing in the heat of the moment, you're just humiliated on your home floor for to end the season for the second straight year. I can understand, you know, blowing it off that night. I was surprised he didn't come back and talk the next day, because he does. He has a, you know, he understands his role as the face of a franchise. You know, I still say, look, they've got two top 10 players in the NBA. There's 29 other teams who would love to be able to say that. They've got a lot of work to do around those guys to build out a championship caliber supporting cast. But, you know, when you've got two guys who are that level of star, you're going to have a chance.
Tim McMahon from ESPN, our guest here on Arizona Sports. The finals get underway tomorrow. Denver's been riding this wave of disrespect all the way to their first NBA Finals appearance, and what Miami has done as an 8 seed has been remarkable. And a lot of people not giving Miami much of a chance in this series. Do you, Tim?
So, yeah, the Nuggets ride this wave of disrespect right to the finals where they're the heavy, heavy favorites.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So much for that. Listen, I think the Nuggets win the series. I pick Nuggets in 6. I just don't think that Miami has the offensive firepower to keep up with the best offense in basketball. And obviously, you guys saw Jokic. I mean, the guy's just unbelievable, and they've got pieces that fit really well around him. Jamal Murray is just one of the best playoff shot makers and scorers in the league. But do I give Miami a chance? Like, you have to give Miami a chance. Mm-hmm. They beat the team that had the best record in the league, right? In 5 games in the first round, they beat the team that had the second best record in the league in the Eastern Conference Finals. Jimmy Butler is one of the most relentless competitors that we've ever seen in the league. Spoelstra, you know, a multi-time championship coach who, in fact, he's never been coach of the year, is crazy, because he's probably the best coach in the NBA right now. So I absolutely give them a chance. Having said all that, my pick was Nuggets in 6. Mm.
When you take a look at Bob Myers walking away from Golden State, what does that say to you, Tim? Does that say to you that he believes that with his head that the run is probably over, but he doesn't have the heart to be the guy to trade off pieces? What do you think the lesson is here? What is the message here?
Yeah, I think that you can speculate and say, hey, this guy built that dynasty. He doesn't want to be the one who's overseeing the teardown process. And that's fair, but that's speculation. If you take him at his word, the guy was just tired. He just didn't feel like he could give it his all after a dozen years on the job. And I don't think that you can say, okay, Bob Myers is gone, they're definitely tearing this thing down. You know, we'll see how things play out this summer. They've obviously got some major decisions to make as far as, hey, does Clay get an extension? What happens with Draymond? Does he opt out of that player option? You know, does he take that? Is there an extension there? You know, is Jordan Poole traded? Like, there's some major, major decisions to be made. But I think it would be a dangerous assumption to say, well, Bob Myers left, that means they're blowing this thing up.
All right, last question for you. When you look at the Miami Heat, their culture is obviously profound, it's renowned, it's talked about a lot. What do the Miami Heat do that every organization in the NBA could do if they were paying attention?
You know, I mean, honestly, the Heat culture has become almost even a cliche. I remember talking to PJ Tucker last year, and you know, he just like rolled his eyes. He told me, he's like, well, listen, I'm the same guy that I was when I was in Phoenix and Houston and Milwaukee. Like, this ain't about Heat culture. This is like, I'm PJ Tucker. Give me a break. But they do have a great culture, but I think if you talk about what are they able to do? They're able to both be major players in free agency, which we can talk about Jimmy Butler. Obviously, you go back to LeBron and Bosch back in the day. They're always going to be a destination in free agency because of partially location, but also just the respect that franchise has around the league. And then you talk about a franchise that's probably the best in the league in terms of identifying under-the-radar talent and then developing it. I mean, I know these guys are tired of being referred to as undrafted, but you look at the impact that Gabe Benson's made.
Yeah.
You look at the impact that certainly Caleb Martin made. And you know, that's a guy they picked up. They didn't even get him as an undrafted guy. They got him off the scrap heap. You know, Duncan Robinson. So I think when you are able to attract stars like they have been in free agency and do as well as they do, not just in the draft, but, you know, going through the rubble and developing guys, that's how you have the kind of sustained success that they have over most of the last couple decades.
Yeah. Tim, great stuff. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, brother.
Really enjoyed the conversation today.